This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Yeah, sorry to say that Carol is not feeling well today. She rarely takes any time off. So, Carol, get better soon and be back on Monday. This is Food for Thought, 1077 The Pulse. As you heard, the number is 866-823-1077. I mean, the number is always out there, even if we don't give it to you or invite you to call. In fact, this segment might actually be a good time if you had a question on wine. There's only one person that I would think to bring in that could probably answer just about anything along those lines. And she is our guest here for the next segment. Her name, Carla Snow, owner of a business called A Grape Affair. She has a lot of credentials backing up what I just told you about her. Certified specialist of wine with the Society of Wine Educators. She studied at Le Cordon Bleu in Australia. She helps businesses and individuals plan wine events. And she's my go-to person when I do radio or television and need a guest about wine. No pressure, Carla Snow.
No pressure. I love your intros. I always feel like I need to take you on the road with me so you can introduce me everywhere.
Well, as long as you ply me with really good wine, that probably could be arranged.
I think we should talk.
Yeah, I think we should as well. So it's really good to talk to you. It's been a while. And you know, I was saying earlier today that there are two types of people, people that love wine or people that are scared to death of it. And I know there's a gray area in there as well, but what scares people so much about, what intimidates them about wine?
Well, one of the things that I and my company, my mission statement is to make the world of wine a less intimidating place. So when I teach classes and host events or consult for people, it's, you know, I really take the snobbery and the, you know, the mystery out of it. And I tell people, you know, if you're tasting bubblegum, that's okay. The winemaker might not intend for you to get bubblegum, but if today you're getting bubblegum, at least you're getting something. At least you can put a word to what you're tasting, and that's huge. So I think, you know, and I tell people who don't like red wine to go ahead and put it in the refrigerator or put an ice cube in it. And, you know, there are ways to make wine more approachable and less intimidating and to learn along the way. It's more about learning what you like and what works for you than learning what's in books. You know, you don't really need to study about wine in order to learn about wine. You can learn a lot about it just by tasting it. I usually recommend to people, just keep tasting. If you like Chardonnay, go ahead and drink Chardonnay every day if you'd like, but try and make it a different Chardonnay. Try to choose a different Chardonnay from a different region and a different, you know, winemaker so you can experience what Chardonnay should taste like.
That's exactly what I was going to suggest, is that you you sample as much wine as you can, because you will eventually get a more of a discerning palate, and the bubble gum might, you know, that flavor might be then described as something else as you continue to really get into it. And people do get into it because there is a challenge sometimes differentiating between two different kinds of Shirazes or Chardonnays or whatever. And that's the beauty of it. There's almost an endless variety of wines that we can enjoy. We don't live long enough to try them all, do we?
It's so true. We don't ever drink the same thing twice at my house. I have a few favorites. You know, it's and we can talk about this. It's rosé time, and just like the flowers automatically start to bloom, I just automatically start reaching for rosé. And so when I find a good rosé, we'll buy a case of it, and we'll drink that, you know, for the case. But typically, we drink something different every day because that is, you know, that unfortunately it's my job, but
yeah, I'm sorry.
I know, it's so stressful. But it's the way that I can learn, and my palate has evolved so much just since starting A Grape Affair, you know, 10 years ago. It's the things that I used to like about wine, I don't necessarily, I'm not necessarily as attracted to anymore.
Interesting.
So your palate does change.
It's funny, you said at this time of year you pull out the rosé. Most people will go to their closet and pull out some different garments. You go and you make it a wine thing. I love that.
Oh, everything's a wine thing. People always say, you know, what's your favorite wine to drink? And I say, it really depends on the weather, is the sun out? Is it is there snow on the ground? Is it daytime? Is it 9 o'clock in the morning? Is it 5 o'clock at night? Is it, you know, it depends on so many things on what I drink. And I do have wines that kind of fit those different profiles. And so rosé is, it's springtime and rosés are popping up all over the place. And I love getting people excited about rosé because everyone automatically thinks that rosé is white Zinfandel, that it's sweet, and, oh, I don't like sweet wines. And a lot of times on the wine cruises, I'll throw a rosé in the middle, and I'll have people say, no, I'll pass, thanks. I'll pass on that. And I just say, please just trust me, and just I just would love for you to just taste it. And they are really surprised, although then I have some people that will swear still that it's too sweet for them because that's what their mind is telling them.
Sure. I'm glad, Carla, that you mentioned wine tasting harbor cruises, which you do starting in June, I think, is your first one on the 25th. You do one a month through the summer and into the early fall. And it's a really good way to enjoy a nice evening out on the water, out of Portsmouth. And you have a flight of a variety of different wines. So what typically would you do as a progression on a cruise?
So we always do five wines, and we always have cheese and crackers available as well. We sail, it's a sunset cruise for an hour and a half, and in that hour and a half, we pretty much do a wine every 15 minutes, and people walk around and just enjoy the scenery, and I kind of go to them with the wines, and I will typically start with something sparkling, and I will greet them on the boat with something sparkling, whether it be champagne or Prosecco or Cava, but something sparkling. And then a lot of times I will do a white, and depending on the season, it will depend on the white that we'll do. So, you know, if it's early spring, or then we'll do, you know, something crisp. If it's August, I definitely need to do something refreshing. And if it's October, you know, maybe it's a full-bodied Chardonnay, something with a little bit more warmth to it. And then then we'll typically roll into a rosé. I usually pick rosés that are very French in style, meaning they're dry, they're not sweet, but progressively in the tasting, it works to do it right in the middle. And then we'll do two reds on the end, and I'll usually pick a lighter style red, maybe Pinot Noir or something, and then we'll finish with Cabernet or a port or a blend or something like that.
I actually did one of your wine-tasting harbor cruises, although I think we went out of Newburyport. Doesn't look like you're going out of Newburyport anymore. But
we haven't done that for a few years, no.
Yeah, so that just shows that I'm due to come back and take the Portsmouth version, June 25th. If folks want to find out more about that, because it is a lot of fun and very reasonably priced, you can go to agrapeaffair.com. That's the letter A, grapeaffair.com. And there are several tabs so you can find out more about Carla or her services, or one of which, you are a wine cellar consultant. In other words, if somebody has a wine cellar and they need to stock it, however, perhaps with mm-hmm. balance or with purpose, that's something that you would do, right?
Absolutely. I do everything wine-related except make it and sell it. So, you know, I consult for restaurants and shops. We do a lot of home and corporate events, corporate team building events or home, you know, dinner parties or bachelorette parties or bridal showers, things like that. And then also the consulting aspect for sellers. If you have a seller that maybe it needs filling, maybe it's completely empty. So I will go and help you decide what to put in there. And then I also have people with sellers that they're very unclear what's even in their cellar because it's been there for so long. And, you know, what should I be drinking right now? What should I be hanging on to? So I'll go in and be able to tell you, okay, this is the drink soon pile, you know. This is the kind of hang on to it for a while section. So and help them organize and maybe make some suggestions on wines so that they want to collect them and things like that.
Oh, it's so funny that you would mention this is the drink soon pile. I think I have one of those, and tell me, years and years ago as a gift when I was a wedding DJ, this would have been 1989 or 90, 89 I think, I was given a bottle of Veuve Clicquot, you know, the champagne, and when I did a little research on it a couple, and I still have it. So I don't know if, it, you know, and I don't know what I'm waiting for, but it would turn out to be pretty expensive when I was Googling and trying to find if you could buy it and if it was still available, and it still is. But I fear that in all the moves over the years from place to place that probably I haven't stored it correctly or had it in the right temperature range, and so I'm scared to death that I'd die if I drink it.
Well, you won't die, definitely. It's maybe get a little bit of a headache, but does it have a vintage on it?
Yeah, I want to say 1989, and I know that was a pretty good year.
Yeah, and if it has a date on it, it's going to last a lot longer than a non-vintage.
Okay.
And most of the stuff in that like $50 range is non-vintage. And so those non-vintage ones, champagne houses don't release the champagne until it's ready to be drunk. So okay. they will hang on to it. So if it's on a shelf in the liquor store or a wine shop, that winemaker has said, yes, my wine is ready today. So they hope that you'll open the bottle right then and then buy another bottle. You know, they don't want you to sit on it for the next 10 years. They want you to keep buying more bottles.
Exactly. Carla Snow is our guest from A Grape Affair here on the Pulse 107.7. Yeah, we'll just throw the phone number out. If you have a quick question about wine, we'd be happy to entertain that at 866-823-1077. Again, it's toll-free, 866-823-1077. Here in New Hampshire, it seems that there are a handful of wine growers that are trying to make a go of it. You know, I think of LaBelle Winery, and they've really built a beautiful function center and are growing wine and producing it on property. Mm-hmm. That one probably is maybe the most familiar to people. What about around the rest of the state? Can you really make a living as a winery?
You know, a lot of the winemakers start out as doing it as a second job, but there are many that have, you know, thrown themselves into it. I mean, Flag Hill is very successful. You know, one of the things that Flag Hill and LaBelle have going for them is that they do events, they do weddings, they do functions, and that's really what will keep them afloat. That will keep them moving to that next level because, you know, making wine is, you know, I talked to an Austrian winemaker friend of mine, and he said, you know how to make $1 million making wine? And we said, how? And he said, start with $1 million.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the theory when you're making wine. It's really more about the passion and not that you're going to be, you know, incredibly wealthy. But there are some really talented winemakers out there. Hermit Woods is making some great wines, and they're having a lot of fun in their new location in Meredith. You know, Jewelltown in Southampton has always been consistent and great, and we're seeing a lot more meaderies coming out, Sap House Meadery. They'd make great meads, and I've done a lot with their wines. Fulcino Vineyard in Hollis, I just recently started carrying his wines into a marketplace, and he's just a really interesting guy and, you know, kind of does this on the side, but hopes to, you know, everyone who does it hopes that this is going to be their next big thing. But I think especially in New Hampshire, it's difficult.
You know, I was driving up to Niagara Falls last fall, and as you pass over onto the Canadian side and you drive along the west end of Lake Ontario, that is a huge wine-producing area I didn't realize. And then I recalled that Dan Aykroyd, of course, the comedian, Saturday Night Live star, he owns some wineries in that area, and apparently, it you know, the weather, the soil, it just must be just perfect for that.
It is, yep. They do a lot of nice ice wines, too, because it's colder up there, and they can get that instant freeze, whereas here we have more of a gradual freeze. So they do very well with ice wines and dessert wines. But, yes, they are growing a lot of wine and making a lot of fabulous wines in Canada.
So what is the most expensive bottle of wine you've ever opened and then poured out because it was horrible or past its prime or whatever?
I've never poured it out. It's never – that hasn't happened, actually. You know, I've had a bottle that I – like a 1965 that I was like, huh, this is not what I expected. But it was nothing wrong with it, so we continued to enjoy it. You know, I mean, there's a lot of sediment and everything, but
sure.
Certainly nothing wrong with it. There is, I had been holding on to a 1997 Cabernet that was about a $700 bottle, and I got wind that the 97s weren't hanging on as long as they had hoped. So we opened that, and I think I was just in time because I could taste that it was going to fall off any minute now. So I was really happy that we opened that. But, you know, wine is meant to be drunk. You know, it's I have a cellar. I do collect, but I collect my kids' birth years. So I'm not collecting because I'm collecting. I'm collecting for them and the year that they were vintages of their births. And, you know, hopefully they decide to not drink wine and Drew and I can drink it all. but that's the only kind of collecting that I do, really. And because wine is meant to be consumed, meant to enjoy it today.
Well, there's this TV show. I can't think of the name of it. Doomsday Preppers. That's it. Have you ever heard of that show?
I haven't.
It's a show about people that are just way off on the deep end about preparing, building these shelters, hundreds of gallons of water, and collecting firearms. I'm thinking, you know, if that ever happens, at least you and Drew are good with wine if you've got a pretty good collection.
Well, it depends on the month, you know, how much wine we've actually drank and how fast we were able to replenish it. Sometimes the wine cellar looks really nice, and other times it's like, ooh, it's been a long month.
Oh, that's funny. Let's do just a quick round of what would you drink with this food. Some quick pairings here. What am I drinking with fried fish and chips?
Oh, my favorite. I love fried food. Sparkling wine is perfect for fried foods. I always recommend fried chicken and champagne on a sailboat is my dream. But you could also do like a muscadet or something. You want something with some sweetness to cut through the grease.
Got it. All right, filet mignon, totally different.
Depending on, you know, a lot of people, this is that Napa Cab drinkers, perfect wine, Bordeaux are great with that. If you wanted to drink local, you could, even try a blueberry wine with it. That would be delicious. Labelle makes a great blueberry wine that would actually be really nice with a filet mignon.
All right. How about a poo-poo platter?
vodka.
Right? Never heard of that kind of wine.
No, I would say a poo-poo platter, you could do one of two things. If you like white wine, I would do like a dry Riesling or a Pinot Gris or something like that. And if you like red wine, I would do something like a Merlot or Malbec, probably.
All right, and the final pairing here, vanilla ice cream.
Oh, vanilla ice cream, you would do an ice wine for sure, a really nice, sticky ice wine.
Well, there you have it, folks. Carla Snow, available to have interactive wine tasting receptions, food and wine pairing workshops, blind tasting team building, which sounds like so much fun, and, of course, the wine tasting harbor cruises, which get underway in late June out of Portsmouth. All that information, how to get in touch with her, and a lot more about wine than we were able to cover today at agrapeaffair.com. And you are an officially sommelier, correct?
Yes.
And you got a bunch of other credentials. So this is the go-to person. And as you can hear, she's fun and knowledgeable and demystifies wine for those that feel a little intimidated.
Yes, making the world of wine a less intimidating place, one glass at a time.
Perfect. And there's one other skill that she has that I witnessed one time. She's able to open a bottle of wine with a saber.
I was going to say that when we do the sparkling wines on the boat, sometimes I will open them with a saber for that wow effect.
That's very cool. Well, Carla Snow, I wish we had more time, but you've given us a lot of information. And as always, you're a great guest. I appreciate it.
It's so nice to talk to you. Thank you for calling. And I hope to be sipping with you soon.
I would love that. Maybe on the boat.
Absolutely.
Fried chicken and sparkling wine. Got it.
All right.
All right. See you later, Carla.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, Carla Snow, A Grape Affair, agrapeaffair.com. If you want more information, anything having to do with wine, and especially here in New Hampshire, she is your go-to person. We're going to go to spices and something called Health Solution Spice Blends. I'd never heard of it. It's been around, and a New Hampshire woman has sort of kind of retooled it, reinvented it, and it's going very, very well. So for those of you that like to cook, don't go away. We'll be talking to Shelley Wolcott in just a couple of moments. You're listening to 107.7 The Pulse, WTPL. This is Food for Thought. Carol is away today, not feeling well. I'm Mike Morin, back on the other side with more Food for Thought.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 131 WTPL, The Pulse, 107.7. Food for thought, Carol Lawrence, not feeling so well today. So if you see her, give her your best, and I hope you feel better, Carol. Back on Monday in the studio here. We're in the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, and we're in this beautiful showcase studio in a kitchen motif with things like KitchenAid mixers and cookbooks, and it does put you in the mood. There's also a couple sticks of butter. I don't know how long those have been in there. I'm not really sure how soon I want to try one of them either, but it's a beautiful studio, and we hope that you enjoy listening to the show. Brought to you by Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale and Company. And, of course, New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. And I also want to let you know, keep listening to The Pulse for a chance to win our Mother's Day prize package, which is an overnight stay at Gunstock, the Gunstock Inn in Guilford, along with dinner for two at their Schuster's Tavern and Steakhouse. But wait, there's more. Massage, spa, and health club access included. Details and qualifying start soon on The Pulse. Loving mothers everywhere and giving you a really nice prize. So there you go. It is 1:32, Food for Thought. So we've covered condiments and we've covered wine. And now we're going to cover something that probably you could really use almost every day in your cooking world. Shelley Walcott is the owner of Health Solutions Spice. So is it solutions plural or singular?
Plural.
It is plural. All right. Health Solutions Spice Blends. She lives in Milford. Her product is distributed all over the country, including locally. Website is spiceblends.com. And Shelley, welcome. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
I was surprised to find out, because I honestly had never heard of this particular product, that you actually bought it from an existing owner, and you went to work, you retooled many of the recipes and the packaging, and that's pretty gutsy, taking over something that had, you know, some market presence for a while.
I've always been a foodie, love to eat, mm-hmm. love spices. It was kind of a natural transition for me. I loved the product. I had to have it.
But so you loved it, but there were probably things you said, boy, if I own this company, I would take this out. There'd be no salt, no sugar in most cases, and I would do this. Is that what was going through your head?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
When I first saw the product, the first thing that I needed to change was the package, the image of the company.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted something that would fit in every household, from the inexperienced cook to the more experienced cook. So what we did is we completely redesigned the package. I worked with a firm who took my ideas and their ideas, put them together, and I think we came out with a beautiful.
No, it is very attractive, and there's enough of a little window through the plastic packaging there that you can actually see the spice as well as the branding and the title and everything.
Correct. The other thing that was really important to me is I had worked all of my life, and so I know how important it was to get dinner on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just drive through fast food just so much before it's not, you know, it just doesn't work for you. So there are recipes on the back of every single package to make it easy. Now, that doesn't mean that particular spice blend must be used in that recipe.
Okay.
But when you're rushing to the market on your way home and you've got the kids with you and they're in the shopping cart, you just really don't want to think about where you left your shopping list. Mine was always on the counter.
Yes.
So right on the back of the package, it's got everything you need. It tells you how to do it. They're simple. It's a few ingredients.
Boy, we've come a long way from Mrs. Dash, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. We have. Yes, we have 16 different blends.
Which is amazing, and I think it's worth pointing out, and I should have mentioned this earlier because it's maybe one of the most important parts of this, is that it's extremely healthy and very little salt or sugar, and what else?
Well, most of the blends have no salt or
okay.
sugar at all.
Okay.
They are all natural. There's no fillers, there's no MSG, there's no artificial mm-hmm. anything. And as a matter of fact, we have just converted all of our formulas over to non-GMO ingredients. So that's very important to me. I want to know what's going in my food. I prefer organic or non-GMO when
mm-hmm.
I can get it.
Sure.
So I wanted my product to be like that.
So your story is, you said you've worked hard all your life.
Mm-hmm.
And your story is that you didn't really have a background in food besides enjoying cooking and eating and,
right.
and feeding your family. You were in high tech, right?
Yes.
So what were you doing, and what broke the camel's back that said, I got to do something else?
Well, I had been a software quality engineer. So as my husband would say, it's amazing that they paid me to complain, but that's what my job was. I was paid to tell you what was wrong with everything.
Really?
And it was, I was quite a natural at it. So it was very easy. I'm good at fixing problems. So that's why when I saw the product and I saw the package and I tasted it, I knew pretty quickly what I needed to do to fix it. So there I was in high tech, and yeah, I have to admit the money was pretty nice.
Oh, yeah.
But as time goes on, you do notice that your bosses become younger and younger.
Yes.
And there just came a time when enough was enough. I worked for great companies, and I was actually part of a layoff. So that was the opportunity I had to say, you know what, now it's time to do what I've always wanted to do.
So you were kind of pushed to, even though you'd been thinking about it, it took that one little extra shove to make that decision.
Yes.
Scary, though.
Yes, but you get to a point in your life where you say, I really need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I have an amazing husband who is just unbelievably supportive. I have great children who just, you know, think I could succeed. Mm-hmm. And friends the same way. And I'll tell you, I lean on all of them. They taste when we test a recipe. I have a group of friends that are over. They love coming over and they never leave hungry. because either the dinner's going to be really good or really bad. Depending on what we're playing with.
And now, is liquor involved at all to make the bad ones taste a little better?
Well, that's why I liked your last guest.
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah. I heard you in an interview say that you are a self-confessed lazy cook.
Correct.
Which I think a lot of people are, and that's not, I mean, that's sort of self-deprecating, but let's be honest, as you pointed out, you worked a long day, the kids are in the shopping cart, and you need to get the game plan together quickly for dinner. This seems to be a product that would solve that problem.
It does. It makes it very, very easy. We have a packet that tells you what you can make. You could make chili. You can make a beef stew. You can make Italian meatballs. You could make perfect steak, lemon pepper scallops. The packets have a resealable top so that if you decide, well, you have a smaller family, or you just want to make a small amount of something, you can reseal it, put it back in the cupboard. But what this product does that's different than others is you don't have to have a cupboard of a million different spices, okay?
Yes.
It's all there for you. It's simple, it's easy, and quite honestly, it tastes great. As a lazy cook, that doesn't mean I don't enjoy cooking. I have to be a really good cook. It's just that I don't want to start a recipe and look in the cupboard and say, oh, my God, I don't have that ingredient. I don't have that spice. I use these blends every day.
There are recipes on the back of each package, but if you go to spiceblends.com, as I did earlier, there are lots of recipes for many, many more than what you're going to find on the 16 various versions you have, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we just finished a nationwide blogger recipe challenge.
I heard about that.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. We got the most amazing recipes from across the country using our blends. And we asked the bloggers, well, they needed to be a home cook. They could not be a professional cook. And we were looking for unique recipes, unique ways to use the blends. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I was so impressed with what we saw. We just announced the top six winners. Our top three, who actually win the prizes, will be announced May 1st.
Oh, okay. Any New Hampshire people in there?
Unfortunately, no. We didn't have any New Hampshire people enter. So I'm hoping that anyone who's listening will enter next year.
So we're talking with Shelley Wolcott, owner of Health Solutions Spice Blends, available at Hannaford and I believe Market Basket and a bunch of other more boutique-y type of stores, right?
Yes. Market Basket, Hannaford's. We're in Whole Foods. We're in this area. We're in Gosselin's, the Whining Butcher. We're in over 200 stores just around New England.
All right. So, Shelley, here's what amazes me about what you've done. You've had the company now for only about 2 years, right?
Yeah.
So not only did you – and I don't know – first of all, how did you talk the person who owned it into selling it, and how did you even know it was for sale?
Well, that's an amazing thing. New Hampshire's a great state. University of New Hampshire has a small business development group.
Okay.
And I have been working with that group over the years to just think about the type of business I wanted to have. I never really was there.
Smart.
So I was working with them, and they introduced me to the person, and she just wanted out. She didn't want to do it anymore.
So how long had the company been in existence?
Under its previous existence and in the previous product, I'm thinking over 10 years. I don't know the exact number of years, but quite a while.
So when you had to establish relationships with all these retail outlets, were they a little skeptical because here's a new product and, by the way, I'm going to change some of these things?
Not really, because at first we changed nothing. What we did is we went in and we needed to develop those relationships with the stores. Mm-hmm. But the beauty, again, of this general area is that we're local. So when I shop in our local Market Basket in Hannaford's, it's my product that's there. They have a lot of local products. It's great. We go into stores like Whole Foods, and we'll make meatballs in the store, and we'll let people try them so they can taste the blend before they take it home. It's just...
It sounds to me, and I you're probably working like 1,000 hours a week. I mean, I'm going to guess you're working...
Maybe.
you're working harder than you did at the high-tech job.
That's true.
Safe to say?
Yes.
So it amazes me that you've done this all in 2 years, and you've also done the marketing. You know, you're doing social media, you're doing a blogger contest, which is a brilliant idea. So aside from that, are you a mad scientist to have retooled some of these products?
Yes. again, I'm all about taste. So I started out by making every recipe that was on the back of the package. Okay. And thinking to myself, that's not really the way I would do it. It's not really the taste I want. I worked with a technician at a spice company, and all her job is to create these blends. So we work together, and I'd say, okay, I don't want this taste, or I don't want this color in it, or I don't like the sound of this word. You know, I want it off my label. How do we eliminate that from the product?
Interesting.
You know, it's funny, when you read a package, if it has all of these chemical-sounding names, it doesn't matter that it says all natural on the front. You tend not to want it if you like natural foods. So that has been my goal, is to eliminate anything in the product that I would need.
You live in Milford, New Hampshire, and I do believe that the spice blends, the production of them, are still in New England. You live in New Hampshire, but the production's in New England. So what kind of company does this? Seems like such a niche business.
Well, actually, I thought it would be too.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, the spices originally came from Maryland. I'm a New Englander. I like things close to home. First thing I did was start working with a local company in Massachusetts, the kind of company where when I call and say, hey, it's Shelley Walcott, they say, hey, Shelley, how you doing? I love that. They're amazing. So they're the ones that help me clean up the recipe, clean up the blends. Then I work with a packaging company who's also in Massachusetts. And their job is to take that blend from the spice company and put it in the packet and seal it so that we have it sealed. It's just, I kind of learned on the job.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite sure how I figured it all out.
But of all the business stories I've heard, yours sounds like, and I don't want to say it was the easiest to minimize what you do, because I know you work really hard, but I've heard of people that have just gone years and years and fought the uphill battle, and I'm sure you've had your share of that, but it seems like in such a short amount of time, you just kind of breezed through it.
Well, I'd like you to think that.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a lot of fun. Of all the jobs I've had, and I've always enjoyed working, this is the hardest I've ever worked, but it's the most fun I've ever had. There's not a day that I get up that I go, man, I wish I could just quit today. I really, really like what I do.
You're certified woman-owned.
Yes.
I guess that must be an organization because you're the owner, and obviously you're a woman. But so what kind of other businesses find themselves in this category as well that are perhaps part of that organization? Isn't that like a club or something? Or?
It's not a club. It's a nationwide certification program.
Got it.
You do need to be a woman. Most of mm-hmm. there are women of all shapes, sizes, colors. It's mm-hmm. It's a very diverse group. It's a wonderful organization. And there are companies that value diversity and actually give us better deals. So I could get into some stores a little faster than I might otherwise.
Oh, okay.
Because of that certification. They run educational seminars. It's a great, great resource. I actually highly recommend it for any woman who owns her own business. The piece of advice that was given to me by another woman business owner was to get that certification, and it served me well, and I highly recommend it.
And I love the fact that you spent some time, you said, at UNH?
Yes.
And did your homework?
Yes. And I'm a hometown gal. We have our Milford High School. Their engineering group is redesigning our floor stands that will go into supermarkets. So we brought them a prototype of what I thought I wanted it to look like,
yeah,
and said, can you make this better? And man, this is the most amazing thing. These high school kids redesigned my floor stand, and they're about to make a prototype for
mm-hmm.
me. And quite honestly, it's the best I've ever seen. And we're going to put it in stores.
Do you think she's excited about her job, folks?
Shelley
Walcott. No, that's good. No, that's wonderful. Health Solutions Spice Blends, spiceblends.com. We'll come back and talk with Shelley a bit more before we close up shop for the week. It's Food for Thought, 107.7 WTPL The Pulse. Coming back next.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Down to our last few moments of Food for Thought. And studio guest today is Shelley Walcott, Healthy Solutions Spice Blends. I never would have thought of doing something like this. I thought, well, you know, McCormick's got the market covered on that, and Spice Islands and some of the other names that I'm getting bad looks now from Shelley, and I understand that. This is locally made here in New England, a New Hampshire woman, Shelley Walcott. Bought this from an existing company, which blows my mind, and then had the audacity to change it up. But you tasted something in the existing recipes and felt that you could improve it. And is there any way to compare how sales have gone based on what they were with the previous owner? I mean, it's hopefully going
yes,
in your favor.
It definitely.
I'm going to guess
definitely.
It is. Yeah.
I'm always surprised when I get like an internet order from California or some mm-hmm. other place. We do a lot of bloggers use our blends to create recipes. So that's how people around the country
sure.
are getting to know us better. Plus, people really want something that's healthy and tastes good. And I know you mentioned that other brand. If you were to look at their label, chances are you can't pronounce many of the ingredients, but they are loaded with salt and sugar. And that's the big difference.
Sure. And that was a goal. You probably would not have wanted to do this if you couldn't have had a good product without taking those things out, right? You wanted
Correct.
To make sure they were out for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
A few of them have a little bit of it, but...
Right, it's low salt, low sugar, if
low
it does have any.
And low sugar, which is a big health concern for so many people these days. I was marveling at your marketing. I know you work with, at least last I checked, a small, like a boutique type of marketing, public relations boutique it's called, mm-hmm. that deal with food specialties. And you relaunched your seafood blends at the Harbor Fish Market in Portland. That must have been fun.
I'm always shocked when someone discovers the product and contacts us. And that's how that happened. They gave us a call. We sent them the product. They loved it. And now we're there.
Are you working on anything else? You must, I mean, to keep the creative juices flowing, you've got to grow the company and make sure that everything is going along. Are you working on a few secret projects? You don't have to tell me what they are, but...
they wouldn't be secret then.
What's going on in that mad scientist head of yours?
Well, right now, our goal is to really bring the product nationwide. We've worked very hard to bring it to most major stores in New England, and we hope to be nationwide by the end of the year.
So that's the big push right
now. That's the big push right now. From there... I've thought about some other things that we might want to add in, but nothing that we're actively working on.
Mm-hmm. Something fun, maybe?
I hope.
Of course, it's all fun. Certified woman-owned Healthy Solutions Spice Blends. The website is spiceblends.com, and these are recipe-ready spice blends, right? Just follow
yes.
the directions. In some cases, you don't need the whole package, depending on the size of the portions or the size of your family. And it has a resealable... you know, where you run your thumbs across as so many packages come that way these days, which is very helpful. Well, you've answered a lot of my questions. Folks can go to spiceblends.com to get some really great recipes, find out where Healthy Solutions Spice Blends are sold. And Shelley Wolcott, thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You're very welcome. Well, that's it. Another week of Food for Thought is in the books. Carol Lawrence back on Monday. Hope she gets better, feels better over the weekend. Thank you for listening. Ken Kale, Kale & Company is right here in this studio next in the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, downtown Manchester. I'm Mike Moore, and thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday at noon. Food for Thought on WTPL The Pulse.